Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson, and welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to, found right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Also, anywhere fine podcasts are available. Also on Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. And Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. 7 incredible, fantastic designs. Steve lost his voice. I have to do more of the talking today. I don't know how I feel about this.
Here's the thing, man. I didn't even lose it at the pay-per-view.
No, you're doing yard work.
That's never happened to me where I lose my voice because of yard work. I have no idea what's going on.
There's a lot of pollen in the air today or lately.
Last year, I mowed.
Spring is upon us.
When my backyard was a fire trap.
Yeah.
And I mowed it, I would have thought that, if anything, it would have been getting in my
sleep. Well, here's the thing. Last year, we were still suffering from drought-like conditions.
Yeah, okay.
This year, drought is over. Everything's blooming.
Yeah.
Pollen fills the air.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Dust, I'm sure, kicked up from you doing yard work.
Well, I
want to
go back.
Pollen.
I want to go back to the drought days, man. I want to send a special shout out to Deuce Mason. So this morning we had the privilege of being on Good Day Sacramento.
Yes,
the local premier morning show.
Yes.
Deuce, big wrestling fan. You can check him out. The Deuce and Mo podcast, one of the best sports podcasts there is. They cover nationwide sports. And they're based here in Sacramento. He also does work for Good Day Sacramento. He came here. We did a little segment with him.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, our parents are, like, that's pinnacle of career.
Yeah. Both our families got really excited about it.
Exactly. And it's awesome. Like, I wake up, Lacey fires up the coffee, and we lay in bed, and we watch it. And I've always said, we need to be on that show.
Yeah.
Like, we need
today,
to be on that show.
It happened.
So thank you, Deuce.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully we'll see you tonight at Raw. We'll have a beer with them. Anyways, check out. I'm going to put a link in the description to the Deuce and Mo podcast.
Yes.
It's a really fantastic podcast. Check that out.
But for right now, we're here to talk about Payback. We had the opportunity to go to Payback. We had some decent seats. We had some good seats.
You hooked up some amazing seats. Once again, you are the ticket master.
I am the ticket master.
You are definitely the ticket master. So
this is probably the best time I've had at a pay-per-view in a long time. Because our seats were good.
Yeah.
Driving over to San Jose yesterday, I said to you at one point, I said something to the extent of, you know, this card is a little mediocre.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just, you know, on paper.
No, I know.
But the possible exception of one match, which we will talk about in great detail, everybody... All the matches delivered.
Yeah.
All the matches were fun.
Yeah.
And even the one match that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about.
Oh, I loved it. I don't care. I loved it. It was
better than what we saw at WrestleMania.
I loved it. I thought it was a great blow-off. I thought it was fantastic for a couple reasons. Not all intentional.
Yes.
But, you know, they were good. Let's just start from the beginning. And so SAP Center, we had a fantastic drive there. Got there, like, plenty of time. We did a fan meetup. We got to meet Eric, the base hit King Blaha. You've heard us say his name many times here. We got to meet Ty.
Yes.
We got to meet and his lady. We got to meet I don't know like a lot of the other names. Like there were so many people.
Yeah.
It's turning into a thing, man. We show up at these things and we're just surrounded by friends everywhere, friendos everywhere.
It's great.
And it's really
cool. And everybody's so nice. And thank you to everybody who came up and said hi.
Oh, it's great. It's fantastic. And then we got even another, what are they called? The SR Club?
Yeah.
The podcast, they cut a promo on us. And then they cut literally a video promo on us this morning. So they claim they're the best professional wrestling podcast. We claim we are. you know, I don't know what's going on with those guys over at SR Club, but shout out to them. Link in the description. anyways, so that sets the stage.
Yes.
We got there. We took our seats.
Pretty much right before the tag match started.
Right, right. We got Jack in the Box on the way.
Yes. Which ended up being not a bad choice.
I didn't travel vlog this one because I was just kind of tired anyways.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that. And then immediately when cameras started rolling during the pre-show, we started getting a flood of tweets, screenshots, our ugly mugs, like Finn Balor, the most beautiful man on the planet, and then my ugly ass face.
Or the one that he tweeted that you see him and you see me in the background.
You looking like you're farting.
With my huge Fun Wrestling logo across my shirt.
Because you're a show.
Anyways, this podcast isn't about us, Steve. This is about payback.
Yeah, people like to know our experience.
No, I know.
They like to know the experience.
But they also want to know what happened at the wrestling show.
That's a very good point. So kicking off the pre-show was... No, I'm sorry. Yeah, kicking off the pre-show was...
Enzo and Cass versus Gallows and Anderson.
That's right. That's right.
And this match early on played like most Enzo and Cass matches. And by that, I mean Enzo spent the first half of his match getting beat up.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Gallows and Anderson.
I know, I did something funky with my hair.
Yeah. Leave alone. Had control of this match for the most part.
Yeah.
Enzo. These two teams do a lot of spots match to match.
Yeah.
There's that spot where Enzo tries to get the tag on Cass. Anderson pushes him out of the ring.
That's what I can never... Whenever somebody is mid-air on a certain trajectory and they are taken off that trajectory on like a 90-degree angle, I'm happy. I always like that.
Yes.
It's a very movie thing. It's a very action movie
really
type thing.
It really is.
And I like that. So I'm okay with that.
There was that spot. And then not too long thereafter, Anderson tries to do something similar. Enzo evades, gets the tag to Cass.
Right.
Cass cleans house.
Yeah.
Eventually, Enzo gets back in and scores a roll-up win, I believe, over Gallows, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's how it played out.
Surprising finish.
Not surprising me, by the way. He's wearing the Taker Reigns shirt. You know what's sad about this? I honestly am... Every time... This is a beautiful shirt. This is actually... This is such a great story told in a shirt, an illustration, and nothing coming out of my mouth is ironic or sarcastic right now. I am totally dead on. I love this shirt. It's a bummer to me that it's your punishment shirt.
I don't like it.
But I love that shirt.
I don't mind the illustration.
You know, it looks like a punk album cover from like the early 80s.
I don't like it on a shirt.
Oh, I think it's beautiful. Anyways, it was a whatever match. I marked out because Enzo and Cass won. I figured that would be... Look, man, how did you figure Gallows and Anderson were going over the entire lead-up, going back to like...
Because I was hoping they were going to establish Gallows and Anderson as... top dominant heel tag team on Raw, but we'd find out later in the show they had plans for another team to be top dominant heel tag team on Raw.
Yeah, a new one of those. Let me ask you something. Well, we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yes.
Next up, we got a Miz TV segment.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a lot of fun. He brought Finn Balor out, who officially declared us to be part of Balor Club. So that was nice of him.
Yes, it's nice to know that I am a member of Balor Club.
Larson, Finn Balor. Coolest man on the planet, yay or nay?
He's got to be top five at least.
At least top five. It's like him, it's Obama, and then like, I don't know, a couple other cats.
Yeah.
Right? He looks so cool. He looks so freaking cool.
He carries himself like he's so comfortable.
Oh my gosh, I know. I have like the biggest man crush on Finn Balor.
So he comes out and Miz puts him over, lists his accomplishments.
Then of course does a swerve on him.
And then asks how he, Miz, can join Balor Club.
Yeah.
And Finn said, well, it wasn't up to him. It was up to the rest of the Balor Club. So the Balor Club apparently is a true democracy.
Yes, correct. Not a representative republic.
No, true democracy. So, of course, everybody in the arena booed.
Yeah, of course.
And so Finn just says, nope.
Nope.
And, of course, the Miz, upset. Finn said, you know, every episode of Miz TV ends with your ass getting kicked.
Right.
And so the Miz stood up. Finn stood up. Miz put Maurice in front of him.
Yeah.
They exchanged words. What did Finn say that upset the Miz?
He said, he basically said, you're not worth it.
That's right.
Yeah, he said, you're not worth it. He said, every episode of Miz TV ends the same way. You've gotten your arse kicked. And then, but then, yeah, he did the Maurice thing, and then he says, "You're not worth it."
Yeah,
and so Miz was not happy about that.
So they play Finn's music. The Miz says, "Stop! I have more to say."
Right.
And eventually, that leads to the Miz eating a sling blade and a drop kick.
Yeah.
Good segment.
No, it was a really fun segment. Great way to kick off. Both these were great ways to kick off the show. The crowd was really
into it too. Oh, the crowd was super into the whole show.
Yeah, it was. The SAP Center is, it's older.
Yeah, someone outside during the meetup said it was about 20 years old.
Right.
And it's smaller than the Golden One Center where we'll be at tonight.
Right.
I would suspect capacity is probably 13, 14,000.
Right, exactly.
It was a more intimate venue.
Yeah, it was. It seemed smaller. The crowd, I always, number one, it seemed like there's not a bad seat in that house. Yeah. Now, I always liked that.
Yeah.
Because like these days, some of the places, like you're if you're up in the nosebleeds, you're in the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Here, if you're in the nosebleeds, you still got a good shot of the action.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it felt very intimate. People around us were really nice. Like a couple of people are tweeting us, you know, the fellows in front of us were standing up for the two counts, and that wasn't that bad. I mean, they were having a good time.
Yeah.
There was like a little girl in front of me. She kept on standing up on the chair, but she kept on looking back, making sure I was cool. I was like, yeah, you're fine. I can just look around you. Like everybody was super nice. Everybody was really, really cool. So that was always good to see. So the actual main card kicked off with the cruiserweight division.
No, it kicked off with Chris Jericho versus
Jericho Owens. Yeah.
Chris Owens.
Yeah.
Talking about
Chris Owens.
Chris Owens.
Chase Owens.
Yes. Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Talking about a surprising finish.
Yeah.
A really good match.
When's the last time anybody's tapped out to the wall?
See, someone's listening to the show.
Was that the Walls of Jericho?
Yeah. I said not too long ago, no one taps out to Walls of Jericho anymore.
Dude, I don't know. Maybe. I never like to think that people are listening to us, but there's always things, man.
There's an awful lot of coincidences happening.
And it's not even like we're predicting booking necessarily. There are things that just downright feel, although the Reigns Braun Strowman thing, I think somebody took my words out of context. So we'll get to that in a second. Because what have I always said about Roman Reigns? He needs a struggle.
Yeah.
This isn't helping his case. Just getting murdered by Braun Strowman is wildly entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
That's not helping Roman Reigns at all. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens was a fun match. We got to see the finger on the rope at one point.
Yeah, it broke up Chris Jericho's first Walls of Jericho attempt.
Right.
And then, unlike at WrestleMania, where Owens was able to keep his finger on after Jericho released the move.
Jericho attacked the finger.
He went over there and kicked it.
Yeah, and then he kept on. He kept on stomping it and kicking
the hand,
it. Yeah, exactly.
So Owens goes for the finish. Owens goes for a pop-up powerbomb. Can't hit it because Jericho's been working the arm.
Right.
I believe Jericho hit a Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
And then transitioned from that into the walls. Owens tries to reach for the rope. Can't get it.
Yeah.
Taps out.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho, once again, United States champion.
Yeah, and you had just said, I don't know, the last time somebody tapped out of the Walls of Jericho, but it was like forever ago.
It's been a while.
Yeah, well, now it's been less than 24 hours.
Yes.
That was really surprising. So we did, like after we did our predictions, I think Saturday, you and I both looked at the betting odds.
Yeah.
And the swing went wildly for Jericho.
Jericho was a huge favorite.
But I figured, you know, like be a DQ or something. And in fact, a couple of these went against the betting odds, which I really love. Like, I don't like, I look at them strictly out of like curiosity.
Yeah.
But they've been, my thing is this, it doesn't ruin it for me because they've been beat often enough.
Here's the thing with this match particularly, because knowing what the betting odds were saying, I actually felt like it heightened the drama of the match. Knowing not only the story being told in ring, but also the kind of story being told of, are the betting odds actually going to pan out?
Yeah, it seemed
like it was the most obvious thing to have.
Or is
Kevin
it going to be like
win.
A DQ or something? And then Jericho says goodbye tomorrow. But no, like right now, as it stands, Jericho's heading to SmackDown. I would imagine they're going to have, in the main event on SmackDown Live, they're going to have the rematch.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if they did a no DQ thing where Kevin Owens basically just completely
annihilates him.
Chris Jericho.
Kevin Owens announced on Twitter that he was going to be at the house show, the SmackDown house show in Stockton tonight. So he's not going to be on Raw.
Interesting.
Well, assuming that still holds.
Yeah. Well, Jericho's not going to. He told Kurt Angle he's done. There was a great
backstage
video
afterwards.
With Chris. It was, I think it was specific to I think it was specific to the .com or to the YouTube or whatever, where Jericho bids his goodbye to Kurt Angle. And then they finally, we get a blow off on the Tom Phillips. What's his name? Mike Rowe,
I think.
I think it's their name. Tom and Mike. Yeah. I think
Mike Tom. Tom Mike.
And Chris Jericho. When Tom Phillips rolls up on him as he's being interviewed by Mike Rowe, Jericho's reaction was great. He says, he freaks out.
He says, I get it now. You're clones.
Calls them clones. Puts them both on the list. So anyways, yeah, that was surprising.
In the longest match of the night.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, yeah. Yeah, by
if you don't include
2 minutes.
If you don't include
House of Horrors.
If you don't include Bray Wyatt's limo ride over to the arena.
Right, yeah. Then next up, and then we had the
Cruiserweights.
Neville's defense of the Cruiserweight Championship against Austin Aries. Neville cheated. This is I actually like this match better than the Mania match.
Mm-hmm.
I figured this would be a better match. You know, sometimes it's on the little pay-per-views that the pressure's off. They put on a really, really good match.
I know.
These two guys did that. There was that one funny moment that a lot of people caught me mocking on the broadcast of Austin Aries. He was in the middle of the ring, and he started looking like he was glitching.
I know. That's what I said to you. You look like a video game glitch.
Exactly. But he was just doing his best to sell stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways, really fun match. It featured a really great combo of sort of the cruiserweight high flying stuff, but then there was a lot of sort of brutal ground
more
game,
methodical wrestling
going on as well.
There was a couple times where Austin Aries went to the top rope to try to hit a top rope move. Mm-hmm. Neville evaded.
Mm-hmm.
In the end, Aries had Neville in the last chancery.
Yeah.
Neville, trying to reach the ropes, realized he wasn't going to be able to. He grabs the ref by his collar and throws him across the ring.
Yeah.
Gets disqualified.
Yeah.
So Austin Aries won by disqualification.
Yeah. Does that make you want to change predictions at all in terms of
specificity?
Who stands tall?
Specificity?
Yeah. Like,
no.
Who wins, but then, okay, all right.
No.
Making sure. Because I don't think neither of us were going to call. I would not have called Neville winning by DQ.
I would have thought, well, not in this manner. I would have thought Perkins would have got involved. That I would have believed.
Right, yeah, totally. So then we had, after that we had, very interesting, we had the Hardy Boys defending their tag team championship titles against Cesaro and Sheamus.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Good, very stiff match. Jeff Hardy lost a tooth.
Sheamus had a very tickled look on his face when they were up at the top of the ramp. And
do you think it was some foreshadowing?
Might have been some heel. He had heel face. I mean, he's kind of a heel. And, you know, people are popping for him.
Yes.
People are popping for them. And this was a shocking heel turn.
Yes.
But one that I support in full.
Yes.
It was fantastic. So, really fun match. Kind of a stiff match.
Yeah, well, Jeff Hardy lost a tooth and Matt Hardy was busted open.
He was all scraped up on the face. These guys are really kind of going at it. It was really, really fun match. It was almost a 13-minute match. A lot of fun to watch. A lot of great spots.
And considering the heel turn, they actually did a pretty good job with the storytelling beforehand.
Yeah.
All the sportsmanship
that
was going on, handshaking.
Yeah.
And then finally, Sheamus and Cesaro broke.
Yeah. And my good, if it has never been more obvious, especially on the broadcast, that WWE owns the rights to Broken now, man. That's crazy. Because, like, apparently Renee Young, I think Sheamus and Cesaro, one of or both of them, were on the Raw Talk.
Yeah.
They're on Going Out Raw. And she said something along the lines of, you broke the Hardys or something like that. Like, everybody, Corey Graves said something like, you know, they're like in a different universe now.
Yeah.
So the Broken universe
is coming.
Is coming, man.
And
it's
Matt
happening.
Was really doing, because we saw the Hardys, you know, we were on the
Matt
floor.
Matt was so gleefully
like
teasing being broken.
But I was going to say, at Raw after Mania, Matt Hardy wasn't doing
as much
broken stuff as he was last night.
He had like broken face. He was a little tickled. He was tickled as well.
Yeah, a lot of wonderful.
Yeah.
Ha!
Turn around, do this.
Start deleting. Yes.
He was chanting for. He was calling for Brother Nero at one point. So they had full license to do whatever they wanted to out there. It was fantastic to watch that. Again, I don't even know how much Jeff Hardy cares. I think Matt Hardy has such a good time with it. I think Jeff Hardy enjoys it because Matt Hardy enjoys it so much. That's what I think.
Well, I mean, it's benefited Jeff in a huge way.
Absolutely.
He's been a part of a huge renaissance for the Hardy Boys.
Absolutely. And I just think.
But no, I think you're right. Do you think Jeff would rather be Itchweed? I wait until you're drinking to say
I'll never get tired of you saying the word itchweed. That makes me so happy when you say itchweed. Oh, my God. What did you say last night? We had a long, long conversation last night about wrestling. Like, so we're going to do a count out this weekend.
Oh, of what other wrestlers should have biopics.
And we actually filmed the episode this past weekend, but we hated it because, like, look, we went to film school.
Yeah.
We have a pretty wide knowledge of filmmaking.
Yes.
And directors and crap. And so, like, we were like, you know what? When we were done with it, it was like a half hour. It was kind of crap.
I went from the largest water bottle.
That's ridiculous.
To the smallest.
That's like a new gimmick of yours. Cold water. But is it a lot? Is it a little?
Not going to happen.
This pay-per-view, you're throwing a little cold water on it.
Not going to happen.
And so, I don't know. I think I was about to tell a story.
Oh, about the count out that we shot it last week to go up on Sunday or Saturday, whenever. We weren't happy with it. We thought we could do better.
Yeah.
And so we're going to redo it with a little more research, a little more thought put into
it. Yeah, sure.
Next for this upcoming weekend. But on the car ride back home from Payback last night, we were talking a lot about like one of us would just throw out a wrestler. And we challenged the other to try to cast that wrestler.
Yeah, what did I say? It was John C. Reilly. Who should he be? Oh, Terry Funk.
Yeah, that's good.
Will Ferrell as, I don't know. I think we threw out Will Ferrell
for
Fritz Von Erich.
Yeah.
For a lot. Anyways, I was going to relate a story, but it was
funny. One of the, I think I challenged you with the Hardy Boys.
No, it was a Dick Cheney joke.
Oh.
I laughed so fucking hard at that. Anyways, somebody needs to do a biopic of Dick Cheney when he shot that guy in the face.
But it's real time, it's real time in one day.
It's not really a biopic, is it? I mean, it's a moment in his bio. Anyways, Hardy Boys went over. They shook Cesaro and Sheamus' hand. Everybody was happy. Cesaro and Sheamus.
They were playing the Hardy Boys music.
They were playing the music. Cesaro and Sheamus come back in, dump Jeff from the top turnbuckle onto his ass, onto the floor. I don't know how he still does that.
I don't know either.
And they just really lay it. They just destroy the Hardy Boys. And I swear, Cesaro looked so happy. He was relishing getting to be a heel.
Yep.
So hardcore.
Yep.
Let me ask you something.
What?
Sometimes when these guys relish being a heel so much, the smart marks, for sure, just want to cheer that.
Well, I think that was going to be the case with Cesaro regardless.
Regardless, huh?
Because people love his wrestling so much. If he's really going to have to change his approach
in-ring.
Think so,
huh?
No more swing.
He's so good, though. No more swing, no but more he's swing. Still such he's a good wrestler.
He's going to have to tone down his athleticism.
Is he going to have to be boring?
Way more physical.
Yeah, he's going to have to be stiff.
No, he can do like what Neville did when he turned heel.
Yeah.
He can't talk today.
You can't talk to them.
Focus a lot more on character and less on doing awesome stuff in the ring.
For sure.
That's what he has to do.
Yeah.
You know, still do occasional springboard European uppercuts and stuff like that. No more swing. He can't do the swing at all, period.
Yeah.
Done. Can't do that anymore.
What a great turnaround for these guys, though.
Yeah.
Like they had the fantastic dynamic of heel and face coming together, sort of, you know.
Yeah, there was that push and pull, that tension between
the two. It's been a fantastic run. And this is a perfectly executed heel turn. Yeah. I can't think of a better way. And if this does land them into a bro, I can't think of better opponents for the New Day or for the Hardys to start the kickstart their broken stuff with. I think it's fantastic.
Yes.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
It really is.
Next up, another shocker. Alexa Bliss defeated Bayley in her own hometown. Man,
made special Bayley San Jose t-shirts, selling them at the venue.
Yep.
And then they jobbed her out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of an awkward match. These two don't have the chemistry yet. We're so used to Bayley with Sasha or Charlotte or even Nia Jax. Nia Jax knows what she's good at and they stick to that. Alexa Bliss, she's still, I mean, it's impressive how far she's come along. Even though she hasn't been on main for really that long.
Yeah.
She came up at the draft, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's been less than a year.
Less than a year, yeah.
She's been on SmackDown since the draft,
yeah.
Since the draft. So, you know, there's some getting to know you time. We saw kind of the same thing with Charlotte and Naomi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But Alexa, in terms of, like, her ring work is what it is. It's fine. It's serviceable.
There was only three moments where, you know, it was a, you know, not as tight.
It was obvious. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was obvious to us sitting that close, but I don't, you know, maybe the broadcast kind of covered up some of that.
There's two things that I kind of realized. Number one, I mean, we've known this. She's top on the mic. She's fantastic. She is so good.
Her
on
character
the mic.
Work as a whole, because I don't know if they showed this on the broadcast, but when Bailey was making her entrance, huge pop. So I had to look at Alexa, and she's got her hands covering her ears,
right,
because she doesn't want to hear Bailey's cheers.
Right.
Good stuff.
Oh, fantastic. It's fantastic.
Little small things like that go a long way.
She's going to be what you just said right there. Little small things go a long way. She's going to go a long way. Because she's tiny.
Yeah, man. She is.
She's short. But she's fantastic. I think in 3 years she's going to be like a nuclear face. I think she's – because the people right now, like, I don't know. She's so good at her job. And so when you start off on a heel – we've said this a million times. You start off on a heel in that manner. When they go face, it's going to be nuclear. It's going to be huge. She just needs a lot more reps in the ring with somebody like Bayley, with somebody like Sasha Banks. Yeah. They can learn a lot.
The finish of this match saw Bayley go for a roll up near the ring post.
Mm-hmm.
Alexa kicked out, and in doing so, Bayley rammed her shoulder into the ring post.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And that was very loud.
Yeah, it was. It was totally.
Yeah, she hit that pretty hard.
I thought it was like the top of her head for a second.
She sold it like it was. It was her shoulder.
Did you watch pay-per-view afterwards, after the fact?
No.
I started to last night, but then I had to clean my office.
And then Alexa hit a DDT, picked up the win. Shocking.
I called it. Not shocking, because I called it.
Well, I mean, I didn't
feel good about it.
I know the history of Vince booking hometown competitors to lose.
Yeah.
It was very much in my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't feel great about that pick.
Okay, so hold on. Let's think about this now. So Austin Aries stood tall at the end of 205 Live.
Yeah, well, you can't really say.
No, you're right. No, stood tall. I was saying
he wasn't like he was happy about it.
No, at the end of 205 Live.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
And then but it was a DQ. Neville really went over here. I mean, that was Neville winning. Who stood tall at the end of Raw between Jericho and Owens?
They weren't on there because Owens on SmackDown.
Good point.
Now.
Hardy Boys and Cesaro and Sheamus.
They finished the Sheamus match. Matt won.
Mm-hmm.
And they all shook hands in the ring.
That's right. But there was a heel turn there, so that sort of washed out. Alexa Bliss, she stand tall at the end of a Raw?
I don't remember.
Did she like escape again? Didn't she escape from
Bayley? Oh, yeah. No, it was she escaped, came back down and blindsided Bayley, and then Sasha ran up. So, yeah, she got the upper hand at the end
of Raw. She got the upper hand at the end of Raw, and she won here.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're going to talk about the House of Horrors. This is great.
Let's tell the full story because...
Oh, so I wish if there were not copyright issues, I wish we could do like a straight up reaction video to this because it's great.
So this is what happened. So the women's title match ended. We were both a little hungry.
Hey, that answers the question as to the person who said who's going to get the first belt, Charlotte or Alexa.
Yeah.
I think I called Alexa.
Okay. So we said, let's grab a bite to eat.
Yeah,
and they ran a really long recap video package of their feud, so it worked out. So right as I got my hot dog, paid for it, went out to the arena right as the pre-taped segment began.
I was bummed out because you went up there and I was behind you, and I was like, "Man, I want some nachos." And you said, "Let me get some nachos."
And the guy said it was going to take 5 minutes.
Can you wait 5 minutes? And you're like,
"How long is it going to take
for
a hot dog?
Polish? Give me a Polish.
Yeah, give me
a
Polish sausage." And he goes, "Okay, I can give it to you that right now."
Yeah,
knowing the match could start at any moment.
Yeah. So I got popcorn.
I think I made the right decision.
I saw popcorns ready to go.
Yeah. So I walk out through the corridor into the arena itself. Before I even see what's on the Titantron, I hear someone laughing.
Yeah.
And right as I can see the screen is Randy stepping out of a limo wearing jeans.
Yeah, it was great.
So we know we're in for a true no-holds-barred contest.
So much happening here. Why limo?
Jeans, belt, no shirt.
Are they supposed to be in the San Jose area?
Well, I mean,
it's bright as day outside,
yes.
Dark at night. I personally don't care about any of that.
No,
stuff.
I don't. Because
I personally think that adds to it.
Here's the thing: if they had shot that in afternoon daylight, it wouldn't have worked.
You see, like
totally mood-wise,
like kids playing next door.
Yeah, none of that would work. Also, it's still daylight on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, it's not. There's a lot more people on the East Coast than there are on the West Coast.
Is that true?
Yes, population-wise.
Confirmed.
Yeah, the population density in the East Coast is far higher than it is on the West Coast.
All right, making sure.
I mean, there's large cities on the West Coast, but I believe there's a lot more large cities on the East Coast.
That's a good point.
Anyways. By the time you get out there, we walk back to our seats.
I immediately mark out because I think it's amazing. They're doing a movie. I love it.
Yeah.
I have popcorn. I got popcorn.
Yeah, you're literally ready to sit and watch a movie.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So it starts. It's a little slow getting started because Randy's walking through this house. Bray appears. Looks like he's peeing in the corner.
Which, again, you're only going to get in a pre-tape segment.
Exactly. And then he wanders through the house some more. Bray attacks. You know, it felt very much like Manhunt.
Yes, you said that. You said Manhunt 3, the wrestling.
Yeah.
But then you, like, corrected yourself. I mean, the wrestling game.
Yeah.
I said, no, I like that. Manhunt 3, the wrestling. Somebody make the Rockstar make that game.
But I will say this, the pre-tape stuff,
yeah,
was way better than the garbage they did at WrestleMania. Way better.
Yeah, it was. Like, I asked you before.
It at least made a semblance of sense.
I asked you beforehand, what's the lamest thing they could do? And I felt they didn't do the lamest thing they could have done. I thought, like, they kind of did what you were hoping they wouldn't do, but I don't know. I thought it was all right. We got both. We got the thing up on the thing, and we got the thing in the ring. And
yeah.
I thought the thing in the ring was actually super entertaining.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And, you know, we'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, they go through the thing. A lot of baby imagery, dude. A lot of, like, suspense.
There was a whole room.
There was an entire baby. Literally, dude, it was the baby Orton room. I can't do that right now. But tell me somebody isn't watching the show when they hear this idiot right here say baby Orton over and over again. And then there's literally a baby Orton room.
Yep. So they fight in that room. They fight in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Pots and pans were involved. What do you call it? A KitchenAid death match?
KitchenAid death match. That was a good one.
And then I
started chanting fight forever.
Yeah, you did.
Here's the thing. Like, to answer one question that we got a lot on Twitter, was the live crowd like? So I would venture to say that the smarks in the crowd, which is 20%, I would say, were actively booing it. They were not, I want it in the ring. And along with the rest of the casuals, we were just kind of quiet. Like, I was cracking up. I was trying to chant some stupid, funny stuff to make some people laugh because they were unhappy or whatever. And just to entertain myself, really. But people were pretty much just quiet.
There was one pretty loud, boring chant.
Well, you think so? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Are you sure it wasn't just because it was like the 10 guys behind us?
No, it was.
Okay.
It was a pretty loud, arena-wide, boring chant.
Okay.
Between one of the transitional moments when they weren't actively fighting.
I was so immersed in the cinematic experience. I want to know what auteur created this amazing piece of artwork.
I don't know.
It's probably like Michael Hayes.
I don't know.
How great. Yeah, I want to know who produces that stuff. Who directs that stuff? Who edits it?
I don't know.
I hope it's Michael Hayes.
Probably not, but.
Who do you hope it is?
Dean Malenko. So anyways, they're.
Oh, man.
They're fighting in the kitchen. Yeah. And then Bray hits Randy with an RCA out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Does RCA even make refrigerators? I don't know if they do.
I think they do,
but I was trying to think of something.
I think they did at least in the 50s and 60s.
Okay, so Bray pushed a refrigerator on top of Randy while Randy was down.
Yeah.
And then walks out of the house, gets in the limo, and goes, driver, I can't do Bray.
Oh, I love it, man. Do it. Go all
Take me to the arena.
Yeah. Drive him, man.
There you go.
Take me to the arena, man. And I thought it was going to be Randy Orton driving that thing.
Yeah, me too.
But apparently
he got he was going to like jump through the sunroof or something. Yeah. But anyways, they hit the road in total darkness.
Oh, it was great.
Driving to the arena, which I was looking up and you can see doors and you can see sunlight. But again, that's not a problem because there's a lot more people on areas of the country where it probably actually was night than it was for us.
No, I loved
on the
it,
West
man.
Coast.
I do kind of wish that they would have had like it was daylight and like kids are just playing kickball. It's like Bray Wyatt comes out all bloody and like coughing up a lung.
Yeah.
And, like they freak out or they completely no sell him. Like the ball comes near him. Mister, can you help us with our ball? Sure, man. Little babies. Here you go. It's a ball back. Goo goo gaga. Man. Anyways.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. So do we want to fast forward?
No, let's do this all in order. So as Bray is making his way to the arena.
And Randy Orton evidently getting an Uber.
Yeah, something. That's not explained. Maybe he teleported.
Oh, the house turned red too.
Oh, yeah.
He walked out of the house.
And he said, because it was kind of bluish light.
Yeah.
Bluish purple light.
It was his official transition from SmackDown to Raw.
Yeah. What did he say, though?
I'm on Tuesdays, man.
Something. And then he laughed, and there was a music hit And then the lights on the outside of the house all turned red.
He said something cryptic like Bray Wyatt does. Yeah.
But I think it was supposed to be a huge dramatic moment. I think, you know, to counter Randy lighting his house on fire.
Right.
It was supposed to mean something.
Yeah.
Completely lost.
I don't know.
I don't know why they didn't light that house on fire.
So, like, we got a bunch of tweets also. There was, like, the house is apparently up on, like, Zillow or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. You can buy the house apparently for $36,000.
Oh.
We should buy that, man.
I don't have $36,000 laying around.
Let's get that Patreon going, people.
Okay. So anyways, while Bray and apparently Randy made their way to the arena.
Hey,
the
Patreon's more than enough to at least make mortgage payments on it. What's 20% of 36,000?
7,200.
Oh, we can put that together.
Feel free.
All right.
We had Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. The crowd as a whole didn't really seem that into the pre-taped House of Horrors segment. And so this was a good match to come back from that.
Boy, that momentum was lost.
Yes. Because up until that House of Horrors match, the crowd was totally into the show.
Oh, for completely. Sure, yeah.
And then Seth Rollins comes out and does a bunch of high-risk moves, and the crowd's right back into it.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Smart booking. I have a problem with the finish of this match.
Sure.
Samoa Joe's shoulder was not on the mat.
Oh, my God. It was so far off the mat.
You know how the ref will put his hand under someone's shoulder, see if it's down? The ref could have got like halfway up his forearm.
It was so far up.
And it was a shoulder right in front of the ref.
And the ref was literally staring at it as he counted. That was a botch finish. That should not have gone down that way. That was silly.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if the ref was on the other side.
Yes. And that's why I watched the replay to see if that were the case, because that would have made sense.
Yeah.
But no, the ref was right there. Because Joe had Seth in the coquina clutch.
Yeah.
Seth kind of did a reversal, so he was on top of Joe, and Joe's shoulders were supposed to be
down. Well, they kind of foreshadowed it earlier on.
Yeah, they kind of did a similar spot, but Joe got out of it.
Yeah.
Or kicked out. But this time, the ref counted the pin when Joe's shoulder was up.
Yeah, for sure. I was happy because at that point I had predictions.
That was
predictions locked in. Yeah. Otherwise, I think it would have tied.
Tied, yeah.
Yeah.
If Joe had won that match.
Were you more pissed about that or just the nonsensical ending?
I was more upset than that. No, I was more upset that that's how I lost predictions.
Okay, that's what I
thought. On a botched finish.
That's what I thought. And I just threw up three. We're good. You got the three count.
That bummed me out.
Oh, so happy.
No, it was lame. But anyway, it was a good match. We saw Joe did a suicide dive. We don't get to see that very often.
True. True.
Good physical match.
True.
They let Seth get in consistently, especially since he's in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Seth gets a lot of offense in during his matches.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
We didn't see his new finisher.
No, he tried it, and Joe was able to counter. Yeah, so maybe work on a different finish.
I think it just needs to be snappier.
I'm not really huge. I don't know, man. I'm kind of it's not Rainmaker. Rainmaker or GTFO. That's my thing. Not huge on the flying knee.
What if he did it more like Kenny Omega, where there's the bicycle knee action?
Yeah, no, then you're just really intruding on Kenny Omega's territory. I would say come up with something different. He's like super athletic, like doing a spinning thing with the wrist lock. I don't know. I'm not into that. Nothing's ever going to be the curb stomp. Maybe that's why I'm like just deep down upset. Like Pedigree was storyline made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Curb stomp was amazing. And now I don't know. I don't even know. Why can't he just do a modified curb stomp where you stomp on the dude's back?
You know what? Charlotte did something like that I think her match against... And one of the matches against Naomi.
I swear, when I saw Rollins in NXT, like when I watched some of those old episodes, I swear he like hit that thing over here, not up here. It was back here.
Yeah. Well, Charlotte, Naomi, or might not have been a Naomi match, but it's one of Charlotte's more recent matches. Like her opponent's on their hands and knees, and she uses her shin
to
drive him down to the mat.
Sure, yeah.
But in principle, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's not as far as a drop.
Yeah.
Because when Seth would did it, his opponent would be bent over at the hips.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if Charlotte can do that, why can't Seth do a modified version of it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like
I understand their point for wanting to ban it. They don't want, you know, people trying it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That aren't trained to take moves correctly.
Yeah, I know.
I understand that, but.
Who just says, hey, let's try to do a curb stomp, though? You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. Backyard wrestling.
Hey, you know what? Anyways, so Seth Rollins went over, but it was weird. I wonder if they're going to talk about I wonder if the shoulder was supposed to be a little bit up, but not, like, that far up.
Not completely and totally up.
To add to controversy, because Joe, even himself, he was like, how far, like afterwards, the look on his face was, how far off the ground did my shoulder have to be to not get counted? Anyways.
I know. So after that match, then Bray, his limo arrives at the arena.
Yeah.
And he makes his way down to the ring.
Well, hold on. He gets, yeah, yeah, he makes it. And then, but Randy Orton shows up.
He teleports or something.
Out of nowhere.
The lights are still down and Bray's posing in the ring. Randy, I don't even know where he came from. Out of nowhere, I guess.
An Uber telling her a lift.
And then he runs in the ring and stands behind Bray. The crowd, part of the crowd, cheers.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't. Bray turns around. They fight.
Yeah.
Take it to the outside of the ring. Randy had a chair and destroyed.
Oh, yeah. That was a hard
Bray's
chair shot.
Bray's back with that chair. That was super loud.
That was a big time chair shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
They fight around the ring. There's a spot on one of the announce tables outside.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Randy did his draping DDT on the announce table.
Yeah.
Randy gets Bray back in the ring, hits an RKO.
Mm-hmm.
Believe that. Did he reverse out of the Sister Abigail and hit an RKO?
Yeah.
And then who showed up, Steve?
Oh, I was so happy. The Singh brothers, the Bollywood boys. And you could see me on the broadcast marking out like...
We both were.
Oh, man, it was crazy. Like, there was a live sex show. It was like up there. That's how hardcore I marked out. If, like, somebody just had an impromptu live sex show, that's what I would do. I'd be like...
and then Jinder.
Oh, man, looking after, like a million
after Randy, bucks. Randy throws one of the Bollywood boys out of the ring and does a power slam the other one.
Yeah.
And then Jinder with the WWE title.
Those guys, those Bollywood boys are so small. They're so tight. Randy was throwing them. It was great.
Jinder comes in the ring with the title and hits Randy with it.
Yeah.
All the while, Bray's laying on the mat selling the RKO.
Well, he also, like, it was the most, I don't know how it played on TV.
The second time Jinder hit Randy with the belt.
It was so ginger. Yeah, it was very ginger. Yeah. It was great, though. I was throwing up because he does this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I threw it up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what this means. It's great, though. It's fantastic. Maharaja means, like, king.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
There was a Jinder chant.
Oh, you know why?
It was
because
great.
Jinder interrupted and finished the ridiculousness of this feud. Jinder blew this feud off. That's why. It was fantastic.
It was great.
People are chanting, thank you, Jinder. That dude's over. I love it. He's taking advantage of an opportunity.
Yes.
And you have to love that.
Yes.
Yeah, no. I thought, look, man, I thought they were going to go the way of the most lamest. And I marked out. I was like, you know what? My expectations are so far down in the dirt that there is little they can do that, you know. But I thought they did what they could do.
Yeah.
You know?
It was great.
I mean, look, it's either this or it's like the crap we saw at Mania or it's something like the Jericho-Rollins Asylum match.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jericho-Ambrose match, which was pure crap. It was terrible.
It was crap up until like the last 5 minutes, the Asylum match. The last 5 minutes where they actually picked up the pace.
Yeah, but you know why?
It's pretty decent.
No, I know, but that's the thing. The competitors picked up the pace. It really didn't have much to do with the actual...
The gimmick. No, no,
the
no.
The gimmick,
no.
You know what I mean?
No.
That was just like guys like having to kick their butts in the gear because I think they probably had to go...
They had to go long because...
I think they went long first. Yeah, like they just had a like odd pacing during that match. But I didn't want like a bunch of like llama, King Llama masks strewn about. I don't want that.
No.
Then we heard a rumor that like some like indie wrestlers were going to show up maybe. That didn't happen. I was fine with that. You know, I don't know. I didn't want anything... When things are only happening in the ring, it can feel so pedestrian. But when you throw out the word House of Horrors, man, you gotta do something.
Oh yeah,
like if it's in the bowels of the arena or what they did, they just got like a $36,000 house.
Yeah,
I want to buy that thing. I want to look into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
it's mortgage on a $36,000 house.
Like it depends how much you put down.
$400.
Yeah. And which took us to our main event, yeah. Braun Strowman, who was next to Bayley, the most over competitor of the night.
Oh, big time.
Against Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. Every time you saw Braun on the video, on the Titantron, cheers every time you saw Roman.
Booze.
However, then, you know, I was paying very close attention. Let me ask you this. The boo birds for Roman, half the crowd?
Well, when there was alternating let's go Roman sucks chance, it felt that way.
I think it's 50-50. I just think the guys that hate Roman are much more vocal about it. Because, man, I looked up and every sign was like pro-Roman.
A lot of them were, yeah.
A lot of them. I mean, during the match, I mean, people are going to bust out the Roman signs whenever Roman comes out.
Yeah.
But I was looking up. There's a lot of pro Roman signs. I mean, there's like one or two pro bronze signs. A lot of Roman. We saw plenty of Roman shirts.
Yeah. So Reigns comes out with his left arm bandaged up.
Yeah.
And he did a really good job of not using it.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, it may sound like it should be an easy thing to do when you're so used to wrestling a certain way and using
limbs in a certain way. Yeah.
He did a really good job of not really using it at all, near as I could tell.
Yeah. So here's my thing. So this is basically like, I mean, Roman got his offense in. Like, he did the thing where he tried to come back and tried to come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did a really good job storyline selling the injuries. But Braun was just too much. Braun absolutely destroyed him.
It was brutal.
It was absolutely brutal. That, especially the one where he tried to choke slam him through
the
table.
Oh, on the announce table?
Yeah, that was nasty.
You could hear the table crunch.
That shit did not break.
No.
That did not break. Thank God for very, really thick vests. Yeah, it was just brutal. It was Braun brutalizing Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Braun kicked out of a spear.
But, I mean, my thing is this, dude. At this, like... So when I said earlier in the podcast that like my words were taken out of context, what I mean is I've been advocating for Roman to face a struggle. This isn't the kind of struggle I'm talking about, though. There needs to be like, and I don't want to bring back the authority to do it,
mm-hmm.
but that's when it was done properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they had Sheamus and, you know, the authority and, but it's like people didn't like Sheamus. And so it's like, okay, well, I like Braun.
Yeah,
Braun's really
great.
Good.
I love Braun.
He's fantastic. He calls Roman Reigns garbage. And I honestly think we're kind of in such a new era with Roman where, especially when we get reports from fairly reliable sources that they're eyeing Roman versus Lesnar for the Universal title at Mania next year.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so now we have this mindset of he's going to be shoved down our throats. We're going to hear his music a lot, you know, at the end of Raw. I have no doubt that this was set up. I mean, where do you think Roman's going to show up tonight? He was brutalized.
Apparently, he was beat up even more backstage afterwards.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I would be kind of surprised. I assume there's going to be a rematch at... What's the next... Oh. Isn't the next Raw pay-per-view that Great Balls of Fire?
God, we didn't even talk about that. God, I so wish I could do my Vince right now.
I know. That's 100% Vince.
That's 1,000% Vince.
I'd assume Empire. They advertised Lesnar for that too, though. Lesnar's advertised for that shit.
It's gonna be his first defense. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. We saw Strowman Lesnar at SummerSlam.
That seems to be the case. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one thing we didn't mention during the Miz TV segment was
Balor
said, "I want my title back.
I want my Universal title back."
And
Miz said, "But do you
realize Brock Lesnar has that belt?"
Yeah.
And Finn said, "Yeah, I've been fighting."
Large men.
My entire career.
I prefer them odds.
I like my odds.
Yeah. Coolest man on the planet.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Anyway, so it's going to be Strowman, Lesnar at some point this summer, it seems like. I'm guessing they had Strowman go over Reigns here to build him up for Lesnar.
Yeah.
Lesnar will win.
Yeah.
And then maybe when Reigns beats him at WrestleMania next year, Strowman would be first in line for a title program saying, "Hey, I beat you."
Yeah. You're garbage. Yeah.
So maybe they're booking that far in advance.
That could be. Subject to change, as always.
Yeah, but we'll see if they have a rematch in the next Raw pay-per-view. I don't know.
Right.
I'm kind of assuming yes, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Something tells me Roman's going to get mixed up with somebody else. I don't know who. Because they need a cleaner path. They need a clean path for Braun.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they don't want Braun eating a loss the month before he's supposed to get his title shot with
Right, exactly. Wait, do we know who Lesnar's taking on at Great Balls?
It could very well be Braun.
Hmm, interesting. And then maybe Roman interrupts the match, and then they have a clean one at SummerSlam?
Could be.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But then after the match, Braun hit two running power slams to get the win.
Yeah.
Reigns kicked out of the first one.
Yeah.
He said Braun sold it really well. I didn't see the monitor.
Yeah, they gave him a big, fat, juicy close-up where he seemed like pretty... He was confused and infuriated.
Good.
Yeah, all in one. God, freaking love Braun,
he's
dude.
Great.
God, he's so good.
After the match ended, Braun got the... I think he gave him another power slam and then went out and got the ring steps, put him in the ring, and then dropped him across the ring steps, put the ring steps... No, Reigns was on the ground, picked the ring steps... And hit him across his torso.
Yeah.
And Reigns was bleeding, and there I couldn't tell.
He looked messed
about
up.
It.
I think it was on his face, man.
No, they said he was coughing up blood.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Did he drink the pig's blood and vodka?
Yeah. So they're really selling internal injuries.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was? This cracks me up. There was a great meme that somebody put on here. It was like Roman, like looking nasty and like bloody in the ring. And it says, like, in big impact font, are they cheering for me yet? So, yeah, I don't know. We're at a weird point with Roman Reigns where, like, having Braun Strowman, like, destroy him in a cartoonish manner is simply entertaining.
Yeah.
Because then when they're carrying him out, what are the chant?
Oh, yeah, the crowd started chanting. I know this happened after they ended the broadcast.
Yeah.
The crowd was chanting as Reigns was struggling to get up the ramp.
Yeah.
You deserve it.
Look, man, I'm not a big Roman Reigns fan, but that's brutal. But it's pretty funny. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I think that I don't know how you get Roman Reigns over at this point.
I know.
Don't.
I mean, I see what they're doing, having him get dominated by Strowman.
Yeah.
The problem is the crowd so dislikes Reigns that
right.
by doing it, you're just getting Strowman over.
Right.
Huge.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to make Reigns a sympathetic figure in this scenario, it's not working.
Yeah, I know.
At all.
I know.
But maybe, you know, as Triple H said, they're just happy with the fact that Reigns gets such a loud response.
Well, like I saw a tweet from Meltzer that said basically as long as Reigns is doing what he's doing on the business end of things, they actually find the reaction to him amusing. Because it's like, well,
he's still selling the merch and whatnot. And
according to whatever metrics they're using, he sells merch and he draws.
Yeah.
Like, you have to take their word for that. Or you have to, you know, they're not going to be cool with that if the dude isn't drawing or is not selling merch.
I know.
So this isn't like, oh, it's just because Vince likes him. There's an element of business.
Yeah, there has
play
to be some
here.
Actual numbers in play to back him up.
You would think. And I believe that.
Yeah.
I do. And so I mean, you know, I don't know. I think they have a plan.
Yeah.
Ish. I think they're trying to do something here with Braun destroying Roman. Whether or not it's going to be effective or whether it'll work, time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, I'm going to kind of contradict myself. We've seen him booked properly and him go, you know, get over with the fans, A, with the Shield, and then B, with the Sheamus stuff
yeah.
when he became champ. And then it went downhill. They weren't able to maintain that momentum due to shoddy booking.
Yeah.
I believe that you can still do that
yeah.
with Roman. I believe that the easiest route there is a heel turn. It's the easiest route there. They don't want to take that route. That's totally fine. You're looking at a scenic route.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a long game and there's no guarantee.
Well, there's always the danger if the crowd never comes around mm-hmm. to Roman. You could really set his career back a long way.
Assuming those people don't just stick by him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the breaking point is for Roman Reigns fans.
I don't know either.
You know? So, I don't know. I mean, I always say this. I don't know what's going to happen next. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm willing to see how it plays out.
Yep, same here.
We're going to be at Raw tonight. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you're there, come say hi. Are we going to do any meetup thing
no,
tonight?
No, let's keep it more. We'll keep it mellow today.
Yeah.
Because I don't know exactly. We have to get this up and
yeah.
exactly what time we'll get over there. But if you see us, come over, say hey.
Say hey, get a
hands,
picture.
Take
totally
pictures.
Cool.
Yeah, totally
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. It's always fun meeting you guys.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and we'll have our Raw recap tomorrow.
Yep.
Until then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.